You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network of podcasts.
This is Megatron, leader of the Predacons, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast. Excellent. Yes.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, Superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pullbag here on the Geekcast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pullbag.
And welcome to the pull bag. This is also all things Transformers, folks, because we are going to have a beastly time. That's right. The pull bag, episode 417, and all things Transformers 200th episode. Welcome to the 200th episode club, Steve.
Yeah, well, I've been there before.
Have you?
Yeah.
With what show?
Altered Geek.
Oh, that's right. Duh.
Yeah, I'm closing in on 400 there.
Yep. And hopefully by the end of the year, I will hit 500 with the pull bag. Anyway, we are here on the pull, inside the pull bag on all things Transformers. We are back with another Beast Wars comic review from IDW Publishing. We are going to be covering issues 4 and 5 of the ongoing, written by Eric Burnham, art by Josh Burcham, lettering done by Jake M. Wood. This is Savage Landing, Part 4 and 5. What did you think when you first picked this up?
Well, I've been enjoying the series anyway, and it's definitely going in a different direction, plus the insertion of Nyx and Skuld, although Skuld's very minimal compared to Nyx at this point in time. I'm very much loving it.
Absolutely.
So this storyline I'm enjoying because it's totally different. It's even though you're getting the familiarity of the characters, you're getting a new injection into it that's not, it's not tonally different from what you would see in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's putting a little twist on other aspects of it because of the insertion of Nyx and Skuld. Although Skuld is not a very important part in this volume, whereas Nyx is, and it's part of the Dinobot
switching arc. Sides.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, I love this. I think this is cool. Once again, I love the art. Josh's art is awesome. I love the character depth that Nyx is given. I kind of hate her computer, though. Her computer is kind of being a bully to her a little bit here. I don't know. It just doesn't...
It doesn't bother me, to be honest. But that's more so because it's showing a lot of what Dinobot has to go through. Of just yelling at his internal computer, sporadically throughout the series, as well as some of the other characters.
Right. And I do agree. It just... I don't know, so the computers, the Maximal and Predacon computers, were done by Ian James Corlett and Elizabeth something. I forget what that voice actress's name was. Anyway, they were a male and a female voice. And I just can't hear Ian's voice as Sentinel in my head as this computer gets a little snarky with her. Like
I can, but that's because if you watch A Better Mousetrap,
mm-hmm.
where Sentinel's going on the fritz because Rat Trap and Dinobot right. get into it, and Dinobot launches his blade into the computer, that's when you end up with a little bit of snark in Sentinel, at least initially.
Mm-hmm. So Nyx can't use her primary mode, Nyx can't use her flight mode, Nyx can't use her weapons because of the transformation lock lens and what Tarantulas has done to her in his torture of her. She's a bot that's on kind of her last wings. And then she runs into Battle Cat. Who knew we would get a Masters of the Universe Transformers crossover here? Like, seriously, as soon as this Earth animal, Sabretooth, whatever he is, as soon as this green cat showed up, I'm like, hey, that's Battle Cat.
It very much looked that way.
Yeah. There are two specific panels, one where he crunches the tree, and the other where it's a full... and he's like swinging at her like he's coming at her. Those were the two things where I was like, when's He-Man going to show up in this?
I was like, when is she going to get turned into mincemeat? Because it was coming.
Oh, it was coming. If a certain Predacon didn't show up and Dinobot shows up, and I love the way Josh is drawing him, the style, the color. It's Josh's own style, but it's very cartoon accurate.
Which is funny, because for somebody like me who's like accuracy or death, I mean, that's very much how my mind goes with Transformers and Beast Wars, and you'll hear our thoughts on Kingdom when we're allowed.
Yes.
But I'm very much a stickler for things not changing. As much as the G1ers are like, no, you can't change this. It's been like this forever. You can't. I mean, I'm allowing like some changes because things do change and things do evolve. I just don't like certain aspects. And so here I find it hilarious because Dinobot has this stylistic view, like this totally, you know, more outstretched, elongated version of him, you know, less menacing looking.
Yeah, he's very lean. Yeah,
he's very lean, and it's simple, but you get a lot of the detail anyway. And so I find it hilarious that I'm enjoying all of this art as much as I am. And I think it's a testament to not only the story, but to Josh's ability to draw and color a story on this, and it comes out beautifully. Like it definitely grows on me the more I read it.
Yeah, every issue I cannot wait to see the interior panels of this. I absolutely love it. I love how simple the backgrounds are, because that way it makes for the characters to stand out. Like I said, with the cat that attacks her, you know, the whole open paw attack, you know, frontal attack that the cat's doing. You don't need to see detailed background. You need to see action with the cat. Same thing with Dinobot and Nyx and how they're interacting. Like, you know, how did you find me? And, you know, and he basically tells her she stinks, and she...
He's like, I got a really big, you know, really good sniffer. It's kind of funny.
And then she gets this giant shock, and because she's going to go offline, essentially, if she doesn't get help soon. And the background is just a light blue color, but it's all of this, you know, lightning and electricity around her that I just love. And the next panel is her kind of crossed over, you know, not keeled over, I should say, with, and again, Dinobot is there, but the trees and the bush in the background, the colors are there, but you don't need to see every single piece of bark on that tree. You just need to know there are trees there. And that's what I love about this. And then Dinobot has the argument with her computer. So there is that.
Well, and what's beautiful about that is he basically outmaneuvers it vocally to help him save her without necessarily compromising her.
Yep, exactly. Which is so good. We get back to the Axelon, and they are worried about Nyx, and they're trying to track her. They've basically stopped working on anything else other than trying to find a way to track her. And they talk about sharing information. They talk about the Pax Cybertronia. They talk about how Maximals and Predacons have been at peace for eons. Well, not anymore, Rhinox. We get Rat Trap coming in here and, you know, snagging some blue box from Nyx's room, and all of a sudden they get a signal lock. Tell me that ping means my idea worked, and apparently Optimus has had a genius idea to track Nyx. And I do love the, again, I love the exchange between him and Rhinox. And you said you were just a soldier. Shh, you'll spoil my reputation. And then we get back to Megatron.
Well, I think it's funny that they finally get him, you know, get freed.
Yep.
And it's Tarantulas that gets him out.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, there is only one voice for Beast Wars Megatron, folks. Sorry about your luck, but there is only one Megatron voice for Beast Wars.
Predacons, we are free to hunt. Our primary target is Dinobot. Secondary target is the escaped Maximal. We're all going. And we don't come back until we've tasted victory. Yes, victory and vengeance.
Yeah.
See? That's Beast Wars Megatron.
Yeah, not...
Just, no. Don't do it.
I know.
Heaven forbid we get nixed by Netflix. Wow, hey, that was actually funny.
You can't use that bat character. I could spoil this. She's not in Kingdom.
Yes, yeah, Nyx is not in the...
We'll just nix that idea right here.
Yeah, nix that in the bud. And I love that Megatron does the whole, like, he basically tells the computer to no one else except him can override the override stuff
any longer.
Yes,
voice code Megatron.
That's right. Although
it's funny because Tarantulas does it anyway. Later on.
He does, yes.
Yes.
And the Maximals are looking out for Nyx, and they see Dinobot. And Optimus is like, Predacon. Let's get her back. And they all go charging. Ah, it seems we've been noticed. Dinobot makes his introduction. And Cheetor tries to attack him, doesn't really work.
Yeah. Yeah, stupid Cheetah. He just like chokeholds him. Does like, I'm like, he's doing a wrestling move on him. He just like shoves his hand out and he just runs right into it neck first.
Yeah, and even though Cheetor is a full grown cat, in that panel where Dinobot grabs him, he looks like he's a kitty that's maybe less than a month old.
Oh, I know.
And then Cheetor's like, why do I suddenly have the overwhelming sense of deja vu? And we get the line, well, that's just Prime. We find out that Dinobot wants to join the Maximals. We find out that, yeah, that's what he wants to do, and that's kind of where it ends. Like, this issue, I formally request to become a Maximal. Now, I said this off-air, and I'll say it here on-air. The reason why we're doing these two parts of this six-issue-long arc here is because when I first read this, I got to this final page, and I'm like, wait, that's it? Like... I was expecting another panel, another page, something. And I get it. They want to leave us on a cliffhanger, and I get it. It's supposed to be a monthly Red comic, so you come back to get it each month and buy it each month at your local comic shop, and that's all well, good, and fine. But there are just some comics that read, at least for me, read so fast that it's like, wait, where's the rest of it? That's all? What are your overall thoughts on issue 4?
That issue 4 was a great gap to the next section.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very... It plays into the story, but it's not necessarily filler, but it's bridging the gap between one issue and the next.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's very much a gap-filling thing. Like you said, it's not actual filler, but it's a meant to be, oh, we're setting this up. This is the setup, and hopefully the next issue we will get the payoff. What would you rate issue 4, 0 to 5?
Just because the interestingness with Dinobot and some of the other aspects, I would probably still give it. I would give this one a 4.5 out of 5. Not quite a 5 because there just wasn't enough going on yet.
Yeah.
But I definitely enjoyed what dynamics were in this issue.
Right, absolutely. I'm going to give it a 4. Wasn't anything about the art or the writing. It was just the fact of it just went a little too fast for me. And as I said, it's more of a setup than anything else. And I still dig it. I still dig all of Megatron's lines. I still dig everything that they're doing. It's just that it felt like, hey, this is a Saturday at the Axelon kind of thing. Because the Maximals didn't really have too much to do in this, at least in the beginning, in the fourth issue. 12 years in the making. After 6 top 100 countdowns, the Geekcast Radio Network, along with 33 participants, are launching our top 100 Transformers characters countdown. August 8th, 2021. 35 years after Transformers the movie was released. Don't be the only con left out of this one, folks. Because, really, whether you're a Predacon or a Decepticon, you want to be at the top. Right, Megatron?
Yes.
Tune in to Geekcast Radio Network's Top 100 Transformers Characters Countdown from August 8th through September 17th, 2021. 6 parts, 6 Constructicons. Learn who will fall and where they will fall, because one always falls. Transform and transcend here with us on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Why nobody love Waspinator.
So moving on to part 5, issue 5, Savage Landing part 5, same creative team, Eric Burnham, Josh Burcham, Jake M. Wood on letters. We get to where we left off. And where we left off is Dinobot in a cell. It's not a jail cell. It's a holding area meant for malfunctioning protoforms. Seemed appropriate. You think I'm malfunctioning? The thought hadn't crossed my mind. Oh god, I can so hear Gary and Scott in my head.
Then it's just creating a voice for Nyx.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is good. She's a new character. We need to know more about her, how she is, how she feels. We know that Optimus is a young leader here. He's not the old and grizzled gorilla that we see in, like, the end of Beast Wars or the end of Beast Machines kind of thing. He's a young leader here. But this whole issue is to basically set up Dinobot and Nyx and their potential friendship and Dinobot's eventual, like I said, he wants to switch sides. And I shared this on Facebook at the time. But I love this whole exchange with them. I think my favorite part is that full-on splash page. I did not torture you. You can clearly see the size difference.
I did not torture you.
Sorry, I'm no voice actor, folks.
I try, you know, but nobody will hire me.
Oh, stop it. I love seeing the size difference between them. Like, he is literally towering over her, and she's like the size of Rumble kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And so they have a conversation here after that scene where he asks her, he says to her, "Tell me then, what do you know about Predacons? Not hearsay or prejudices. Any action can be molded to fit a negative view. What are you certain of to your core?" And she says, "You're violent, you're aggressive." Well, we're largely a warrior cast, so that's as it should be. Actually, no. And then he goes into this whole history of what the Predacons really were. And he even says to her close to the end of this, he's like, "To be clear, if you had come at me with a weapon, I would have killed you without hesitation or remorse. But instead, I saw you defenseless and hobbled, yet refusing to give in. I respect that." And, aw, ain't that sweet, Rat Trap's watching the love story.
One thing I hope they don't do with those two is make it a love story.
Yeah.
I think that it would be good as like a mentor-mentee type thing.
Yep.
Like, you know, almost akin to like everybody, how they treat Cheetor. I think that would work well for these two. I think turning it into a relationship, I think it would be a terrible idea for these two.
Yeah, no. The only relationship I have ever really acknowledged in the Beast Wars canon, at least in the American 96 series, is Tigatron and Air Razor. And to a lesser, not literally a lesser extent, but Silverbolt and Black Arachnia, but that's a whole other soap opera.
Well, he's, yeah.
Yeah.
He's literally a dog, so.
And Rat Trap, even though he's spying on them, we get this little exclamation point message pop up. "I'm not dodging anything. Let me just enlarge this and the frag."
Yeah.
And, yeah, weird message on the screen.
"We're boating up cold. There's some preds."
Yep. And we go outside to the Predacons, and they are outside the ship. And do we launch a blitz, Megatron?
No, I don't think so. A crash-landed, damaged, lightly armed science vessel doesn't require such an attack. We'll simply walk over and let them feel their doom approach.
See, it takes someone who knows the speech patterns of the Megatron.
It's going to be really hard. Yes, you are. Don't get in trouble. Please don't.
That's why I'm like, I'm doing it within the confines of a comic.
Yes. That's right. And Rat Trap assumes Dinobot called them. And the shields never got fixed, so...
Well, they haven't invented Sentinel yet, so...
Well, true, but they did have shields even before... Like, I remember, and again, I know we're drawing allusions to the cartoon itself, but the very first episode, I remember Cheetor.
"Shields are doing a major fade!"
That's right. I'll throw that audio in here somewhere, but "Shields are doing a major fade!" Like, they always had shields. They didn't always have Sentinel. But,
well, they had shields before they crash landed.
Right.
They didn't really have a security system anymore once they did.
Yeah, that's true. And, yeah, it's the beast versus the beasts. That's always a good thing.
I love what Megatron sets... Tarantulas to do, though.
"Tarantulas, break away from us and sneak inside that ship. Set to self-destruct. I want to see their spirits crushed when they lose everything. Figure something out."
Yeah. I just love Megatron's you know, scheming maniacalness, how he comes out in this. Mm-hmm. And then he barks orders at everyone. And Josh even managed to capture Megatron's dinosaur fingers, where he touches the points to the points.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When he's contemplating and he's getting like mm-hmm. braggadocious. Even yep. Even when he was the transmetal T-Rex, did the same thing. And so it's funny when, you know, you can actually visualize this in the cartoon.
Attention Maximals, I am Megatron, future ruler of Cybertron.
You know, and then he's doing the little thing with his fingers. It's just hilarious to me.
Mm-hmm. It's so good. So good. So we get the introductions, and, you know, we get Predacons terrorized, they all transform, and we go back to Nix and Dinobot. What was that? What was what? Computer, what's the source of the noise outside the ship? Predacon attack! Predacon attack! What? Let me out.
It's almost like the wipe them out, all of them, is what mm-hmm. I kind of see.
Yeah. Yeah, she's very hesitant to let Dinobot out, but the Maximals are not doing so well against the Predacons.
Well, and to be honest, Dinobot's as good as dead as soon as Megatron gets his hands on him anyway.
Well, true.
So.
Meanwhile, Rattrap's inside the ship trying to fix all the shields, and Tarantulas is right behind him. Creepy eight-legged spider. Ah, yes. Sorry to steal your line, Boss Bot, but had to do it. And Rat Trap does outsmart him for the moment.
Yeah, but that seems to be always the case with Tarantulas and Rat Trap.
Yeah, Rat Trap always wins, yeah.
He always bests Tarantulas.
Yep.
And Tarantulas is always the one that's at the brunt end of a, you know, a laser shell or an mm-hmm. explosion, or mm-hmm. the wrist-mounted belly bombs, or, you know, just Tarantulas just can't, he just can't hold a candle to that.
Mm-hmm. No, he can't. Hey, String Butt, here's a couple of belly bombs with your name right on them.
Eat them and wait.
That's right.
Oh, no!
I think my favorite panel, even though I've loved a lot of the panels in both of these issues, my favorite panel in this entire arc so far is the Primal Megatron face-off, where Megatron says,
"There's only so long you and your lackeys can hold out before death comes for you, and it will come, after all. No one defies Megatron and lives."
And then I love Dinobot coming out.
Mm-hmm. And that's how the issue ends. Holy crap. This one was awesome. I love every minute of this. I think it is so cool.
Well, the action, the pontificating, the mm-hmm. The transformations were there, the,
mm-hmm.
the fights, the twists and turns. I mean, it was all there.
Yeah, absolutely. The writing was there. Everything was there. It's setting us up for God knows what.
Well, I know in the next arc they're going to have Black Arachnia. They've already teased mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, no. I know that, and we're actually going to get to that, because I actually have issues 6, 7, and 8 pulled up, and we'll get to those solicitations here in a few moments. But no, but what I'm saying is at the end of this, throughout this whole, both of these issues, issue 4 and issue 5, like I said, issue 4 was kind of the setup. Issue 5 was kind of sort of the payoff, but it still left you wanting more. And between the action, between the moments with Dinobot and Nix in the Maximal holding chamber and all of that, it's just so good, and it's entertaining, and it's Beast Wars done well.
Well, I will say this, for the Beast Revival and for the 25th anniversary, this is probably the closest you're going to get if you're a diehard fan of the original.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's face it, they're bringing it out with Kingdom. They're bringing it out with a new movie. No matter what direction they go with it, you're probably going to be displeased with the other two if you're a fan of Beast Wars, whereas this is, I feel like you're pretty solidly safe.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, no, I'm... Between Eric's writing and Josh's art, it is so fun. So much fun. Issue 5, what are you going to give it? 0 to 5.
This one I'm going to give a 5. I really enjoyed it. I love the dialogue. I love the banter. I love the fighting, the transformations, the small details. I mean, I even mentioned Megatron's fingers touching.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Most people would just kind of gloss over. He's got the little minute details. You can tell how much Beast Wars means to Josh.
Yeah. Absolutely. I am also going to give it a 5. I really dug it. There weren't any moments. I mean, I'm not going to take a point away for the fact that I don't like Tarantula stalking his prey. That's what he does. I get it. I'm over it.
He always does that to Rat Trap, and he always loses, which is the great thing to look forward to, is the payoff when Rat Trap finally does give Tarantula his own.
Yep, absolutely. All right, folks, coming up for Transformers Beast Wars from IDW Publishing. This will be released later in July, July 28th, issue number 6, Savage Landing, Part 6. It's a siege on the Axalon as the Predacons attempt to end the Beast Wars before they even begin by ringing down the Maximals and their base as Megatron and his loyal troops launch their assault. One bot on Optimus Primal's ship decides to put it all on the line to help the others turn the tide. And then coming up August 25th, 2021 is the next arc, Transformers Beast Wars number 7. This is written by Eric Burnham. The art this time around in this arc is going to be done by Winston Chan. Pod Part 1. After their first explosive battle, both the Maximals and Predacons have allowed a lull to refresh and regroup. But when the first protoform pod comes down and a new entrant to the Beast Wars enters the fray, things are going to change in a major way. But whose side is Black Arachnia on? Dun, dun, dun. Coming in September 28th, 2021, Transformers Beast Wars number 8. As I said earlier, Eric Burnham on writing. Winston Chan is on the art for this arc. Pod Part 2, Black Arachnia has made her way to the Maximal ship, the Axalon, and encountered her first Maximal, Cheetor. Now she's gone missing again, and it's up to the whole crew to find the mysteriously disappearing spider before she finds them. Yeah, I'm excited for this series, folks. This is awesome. So much fun.
I'm a little curious how this is going to play out. I mean, I know that they just gave the reinforcement of Dinobot to the Maximals, so they don't technically need Tigatron yet.
Right.
But I'm waiting for Tigatron.
Waiting for Tigatron, huh? Yeah, who knows? I don't know what's going to happen, and I like that. I love that we get the little previews, the little teasers, the little descriptions, and it's just a thing for me to get excited for future issues, and I cannot wait. All right, folks, I think that's going to do it for us here inside the pull bag and on the 200th episode of All Things Transformers. Anything you want to say, sir, because this is your 200th episode for ATTF? Did you ever think you'd get ATTF to 200 episodes?
Oh, no. I tried to kill the show 3 times. It just won't die, so I've come to the realization this show just has to keep going forever.
All Things Transformers, folks, was designed on the indestructible spark of Starscream. Oh my god, it's the rampage of the Geekcast Radio Network. Ooh.
No, it's Megatron.
Well, hello.
All things boil down to Megatron.
Well, yes, obviously, but hello, indestructible spark, rampage, Dinobot. All that. Anyway. All right, folks, coming up in July here inside the pull bag, we have got, I didn't actually plan it this way, but we've got a back-to-back Transformers timeline type of thing going on. This is the end of June with Transformers Beast Wars numbers 4 and 5. Beginning in July, we've got episode 418, which is JT from Saskatoon joining me to talk about Transformers Ghostbusters crossover Ghosts of Cybertron. After that, I've got Radiant Black number 5 with Edward and Kendra Hale. Someone, I don't know who, is going to join me for Ryan Drost's creator-owned series, Stealth Hammer, which has one issue currently. And then later on in July, Radiant Black number 6. And at the end of the month, we'll be back with Beast Wars number 6. So that's what's coming up here inside the pull bag. Where can the people find you online, sir?
At the Twitters. At SCP-21.
I am at TFG and Mike. You can hear all the other contact info in the outro. Make your great escape into comics, and we will catch you next time here inside the pull bag.
You wouldn't be here unless you had nowhere else to turn. So let's cut through the signal noise, shall we?
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @ThePullBag and @GeekCastRadio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.